chilly in the city of Chicago. I'm Jeff Meller along with Brian Hanley. Here with you till 11 o'clock today. We'll be talking plenty of Bears as we are now under a week away from the NFL draft. We'll check in with the voice of the Chicago Bears, your brand new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN 1000. We'll check in with Jeff Joniak coming up at 10 o'clock. But before we get into the Bears, let's recap a little bit about what happened with the Chicago baseball teams yesterday. Both lost, and I would say one loss seems far more dire to its team than the other. And that, of course, would be the White Sox walk-off loss to the Tampa Bay Rays yesterday. Of course, the Cubs lost to the Dodgers as well. But after their Friday performance, I think everybody can give them a little bit of latitude. But boy, is it time to sound the sirens for the White Sox, Brian, because yesterday just compounds the season as it's been so far.
And I mean, go back, rewind to Friday. I'm watching that game, and as soon as Lopey, as we like to call him, Pedro, gave up the ninth inning and a couple home runs, I just tweeted out, wow, at Chicago White Sox. I mean,
It's funny because I had the very exact same reaction on a text thread.
I'm without words. I'm speechless. And I, you know, you can argue as the new manager, newly minted manager of the Sox, does after every game. And by the way, his post game comments were pretty much yesterday what they were Friday. We have a good team. We prepare. We're playing well, and they are playing a historically hot baseball team. I get all that.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, you have to find a way to win a game. And you can sit there and hang your head. It's just so many of the comments right now as we sit here on April 23rd remind me of what we were hearing from the players, from then Tony La Russa, who bent over backwards to run interference for his players last year. Wait till we get healthy. Wait till we barrel up on the bat. Wait till some of those hard-hit balls start dropping. We're going to be fine. You know, it's early. It's early. It's early. It's not that early. You haven't won a baseball series yet. And I mean, you can argue. They played very well.
Hey, Brian, they will not win one in this series either.
No,
they've already lost this series.
Already, so 0-6-1. I mean, they split with Houston to open the season, right? In that four-game set.
And everybody was happy about that because, hey, the defending World Series champs, you were able to take two from them in their home ballpark. Okay.
Yeah, it's great.
Have the White Sox and Pedro Grifol figured things out.
And now, so they lost eight of their last 10. And the bullpen the last few days, but for Lopey. Looks like a bullpen, which is, you know, all of a sudden, but I mean, there's just, at some point, you have to find a way to win one of those games. And if you win and find a way to win either or both those games the last 2 days, now there's a whole different feeling about that in the clubhouse in particular.
And to your point about, hey, it's early, but it's not that early. You're now 21 games into the season. The White Sox are 7-14. So now just to get to 85 wins on the season, which 85 doesn't guarantee you by any means a playoff spot, but just to get to 85 wins, the White Sox need to play 15 games over 500 for the rest of the season.
What?
They need to go 78-63, 15 games over 500 for the rest of the season just to get to 85 wins at this point. That's what a 7-14 hole to start the season does.
There's that wow again. Wow. I mean,
like 15 games over to get to 85 wins on the season, which again, by no means is going to guarantee you any sort of playoff spot.
No. And here's the, you know, you start looking at it. Okay, you're only four games back, I believe. You have three teams in front of you already.
Mm-hmm.
The schedule setting up the way it does with the last game here in Tampa, and then you move on to Toronto. No easy task.
Nope.
Then you come home and you get a home dose of Tampa.
Yeah.
And then you said Minnesota follows them up,
that
right?
That is correct, yeah. Then the Twins come to town for a three-game set after your second batch of the Tampa Bay Rays.
Hold your breath and hold your nose, but Detroit might leapfrog you here in the next week and a half if you don't start winning some of these games that you prepare well for, Pedro, and you have a good club, and don't worry, I'm not worried about anything. Well, Sox fans are worried. I do believe Sox fans are worried.
And I think rightfully so, because so, as you pointed out, the rest of the schedule for the next 10 games or so is going to be difficult for the White Sox, and they're already seven games under 500. But we'll see today. The The White Sox play the Rays again, and of course, the Rays have not lost at home. They're 12-0 at home. So I mean, I don't know what would lead you to believe that the White Sox have, you know, a good chance of winning today's game, aside from the fact that maybe it's just baseball, and you know, when you're playing a three-game set, more often than not, a team is willing is capable of getting that one out of three, just because maybe you get the Sunday lineup from the Rays, maybe that plays in your favor, and you've got Giolito on the mound against Zach Eflin. So that, I guess that gives you a little bit of a, I don't even know, though, with Giolito these days what I'm getting. So I was going to say maybe it gives you a little bit of an edge if you're the White Sox in the pitching matchup, Bri, but I don't know if I feel that way about Lucas Giolito these days anyway.
You mentioned Zach Eflin, and I was looking at this yesterday. Okay, so not only is Tampa on a historic start to the season, they've homered in every game. They're undefeated at home. By the way, I looked at 22,333 announced yesterday at the would-be White Sox stadium that they built for the White Sox all those years ago.
The old St. Petersburg experiment.
I mean, and the Sox supposedly had 1 foot out the door, and Jim Thompson, the governor, stopped the clock at midnight to twist arms to get them the lease deal here at the then sell, now the rate. But that said, Eflin is making $11 million a year. He signed a three-year free agent. He's the highest paid Ray.
Yes.
Now think about that. Ian Happ just signed for $20 million on average of over 3 years. God bless Happy. But they're doing it with, what, $73, $74 million of total payroll.
Yeah, and they're 18-3, and they haven't lost at home. And
that's $85 million lower than the median team payroll in the major leagues right now. The Executive of the Year award has just been, you know, handed down to Tampa. There you go. You can take this and put it on the shelf somewhere.
Yeah, and what they're doing too, and Eflin's just coming off the injured list, so he'll, you know, make his return to the rotation for the Rays today. So they've been doing it a little bit without their highest paid player. Yeah. He'll step into, for all intents and purposes, Jeffrey Springs, who was their best starting pitcher, who is going.
I like
is
to
undergoing,
vacation there. I've got a little.
Do you, yeah, Jeffrey Springs?
I got a double wide right there on the lake.
We should all be so lucky.
Oh yeah, good fishing, Jeffrey Springs.
So the White Sox dodged that bullet against the Rays because they didn't have to go up against the guy who's been the best pitcher, because he's going to have to undergo Tommy John surgery. But they did have to try and compete with Shane McClanahan yesterday, and he was filthy. But the White Sox were able to cobble together enough where, against him with Dylan Cease on the mound, you would expect that's a game the White Sox need to win. And I guess this is where, as a White Sox fan watching this unfold right now, I'm quickly getting to apathy in my emotions with this roster. And the one problem with the slow start, even though it's quote-unquote early, Bri, is that you cannot deny, if you're a baseball player, and you find yourself looking up at the standings when May comes around and you're 10 games under, that's going to wear on you.
Absolutely. It absolutely wears on you. And you know, oh, it's a marathon, not a sprint, and you can't win a World Series in April. And, well, guess what? There's no honeymoon period for the new manager, and certainly not for Rick Hahn and for a lot of these players. I mean, Sox fans were so ticked off about everything last year. I mean, everything, and rightfully so. They were promised better. And this team has come, and playing well against Tampa, if you feel good about that, good luck. You got to have results. It's a result-oriented business. And at some point, I mean, you just said, you have to get 15 games over 500 from here to the end of the regular season to be 85-win team. Good luck. I mean, because if you can envision, and I know it will happen at some point, but a 6-7-8-game win streak with this White Sox team right now, given all their issues, which are a lot, you know, similar to last year, you know, make that case for me. 312-332-3776. I want to believe. I really, you know, came out of spring training believing, and then for a week, Luis Robert looked like MVP material, offensively, defensively, and now he's in scuffling big time.
Did he make contact with a pitch yesterday?
No.
He was 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts. And Shane McClanahan was, at one point, he had recorded in the first 4 innings 24 swing and misses, which was the record since they started recording that in the StatCast era back in 2008.
And he was doing it with all off-speed stuff, too.
Yeah. Listen, Shane McClanahan is one of the best pitchers in baseball, so I will, you know, grant the White Sox that it was a difficult matchup. Nevertheless, though, that also, I think, underlines what you see here is when the White Sox homer three times yesterday and still lose the game 4-3, part of it is a product of the lineup that you have put together. Nobody's on base. Nobody's drawing walks to be on base for when somebody hits a home run. And that's why the White Sox find themselves putting up these historically bad stats, even in games when they're homering three times.
And it also magnifies end of game decision, which you can make an argument it was the right, correct decision to make. But the way things are going for the White Sox, it turned out to be the wrong decision.
And if you missed it, so Pedro Grifol in extra innings, of course, with the ghost runner on second, chose to, after with one out in the inning, chose to walk, intentionally walk, Wander Franco, who is a switch hitter with Jimmy Lambert on the mound. He chose to intentionally walk Wander Franco so that he could get to Randy Arozarena at that point, who had already homered in the game and driven in the Tampa Bay Rays only three runs in the game. He was 2-for-4 at the time. And so with Wander Franco 1-for-4, he said, no, I'm going to go ahead and keep the righty-righty matchup with Jimmy Lambert and set up a potential inning-ending double play. That's what Pedro Grifol chose to do. And again, Randy Arozarena, who came to the plate with three RBIs at that moment, drove in his fourth, the game-winning run for the Rays.
And he just put the bat on the ball, went opposite field, and didn't try to kill it, didn't try to mash it, did exactly what was expected of him. And it was his first walk-off opportunity. Again, I mean, hats off to the Tampa Rays because everything they do works out. And up and down, again, a very young lineup that, you know, these guys are working for minimum wage. They 74 million payroll, and they had 21 million on the IL. Before, you know, Efren coming back today. So it was like $52 million worth of talent on this unbelievable tear, and yet 22,000 people, which is three times what they usually draw down there. But can you imagine if either side
of the White Sox bringing in the crowds?
Oh, can you imagine if the White Sox had the Tampa start? You couldn't touch a ticket down on the south side. And certainly the Cubs, you couldn't, if this, you know, they'd be planning the parade route on the north side if the Cubs started this way. But Tampa, I mean, I don't know if it's ever going to be a viable market because if they're not coming out to watch this, I don't know what they're coming out for.
No, that's a great point. Here's the thing, though. And I actually was not so upset with the decision to intentionally walk Wander Franco.
No.
Because in that scenario, I got it. Yeah. Like honestly, you know, I don't want to necessarily give the Tampa Bay Rays two clean at bats to deliver a single to win the game. The problem for the White Sox is not in the bottom of the 10th when Pedro Grifol is left with no good option here. He chose the best of a bad situation.
Sure.
The problem for the White Sox is in the top of the 10th, Bri, when you've got the ghost runner on and Sebi Zavala leads off the inning with a ground out to shortstop, failing to get the runner over. And then Lenin Sosa strikes out. So now you've got, you know, no, but you've still got the runner at second base. You failed to move him over, and you know sitting in the bottom of the 10th is the Rays' opportunity to walk this one off very easily. So I'm not actually that upset with Pedro Grifol's choice. I'm upset with the roster right now.
That can't get it done.
Yes.
And I'm with you. Yeah, Pedro did what he said, and when asked in the postgame about giving the pass to Wander, he said, we liked our matchup with Lambert. And you could, and you probably did. And it'd be hard to make a case against, but the fact is, it didn't work, and you're right, because you didn't get it done in the 10th to give yourself any kind of margin of error.
That's the one thing, I think, when you really look at where we've gone in baseball with the newer extra inning rule. If you fail to score as the road team, good luck to you.
Yeah.
If you don't get a run across, things become very difficult, and Pedro Grifol really didn't have much choice, and it just compounds a bad situation for the White Sox. 312-332-3776. If you'd like to chime in about the White Sox, we've got your pregame coverage coming up today at noon. Of course, first pitch at 12:40. Can the White Sox finally end the Tampa Bay Rays home winning streak? They're currently 12-0 on the season. He's Brian Hanley. I'm Jeff Meller. 312-332-3776 on ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Listen now in HD on our app and on ESPN 1000.
Jake Paul.
Meller and Hanley in the break just reacting to last night's big prize fights.
Take your word for it. I mean, I grew up watching boxing right across the street at the Chicago Theater.
Of course.
Sugar Ray Leonard on pay-per-view. That's how you went to consume your boxing matches.
You go closed circuit.
Yeah. We'd run out of the Sun-Times building four blocks away after working and run down there to watch. And I was just saying, you know, I heard the result this morning on ESPN National before our show. I'm thinking, I haven't heard about a boxing match in forever, that they actually had one, and I couldn't have told you who was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Paul, you say?
No. Oh. My point was the biggest name in boxing is Jake Paul, and that is a problem because when your most popular and consumed athlete is just a YouTube sensation, and that's how he became a boxer, and he's the one who generates the most interest and the most buys when it comes to any type of pay-per-view events, that's a problem.
Because he's not a great talent. He's just a well-known.
Correct.
Just popular.
Correct.
Influencer is what he is.
Exactly.
He's an influencer.
Exactly. And that's when your sport's there.
You can't influence me to watch a boxing match right now. That's all I'm telling you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're not the only one. I promised you that. And Jake Paul is... I don't think people who are watching him are watching for the boxing, for the, you know, the love of the sport, if you will. 312-332-3776, Meller and Hanley with you until 11 o'clock today. We're going to be talking some Bears. Jeff Joniak's going to join us at 10. We'll pick his brain on what he'd like to see the Bears do. We'll also take your calls. What do you want the Bears to do on Thursday night? What are you hoping for? And maybe are there any picks out there that could potentially disappoint you if the Bears end up making that selection? You can feel free to join us here on ESPN 1000. We're also recapping yesterday's baseball action. The White Sox, another loss to the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays still undefeated at home, 12-0. The White Sox get walked off in the 10th inning. They lose that one 4-3. And the White Sox right now are 7-14. And it does certainly feel dire if you are a White Sox fan. Let's try Eddie, who's on the north side. Eddie, you're on ESPN 1000. What's going on, man?
Hey, boys. Good morning.
Good morning,
Eddie.
What
the Sox should have did is they should have hired Ozzy as the coach, because they need a spark underneath it. They all got these contracts, and they're all sitting back. I don't even think they care if they get injured. It's like little mini vacations for them. That's what I see with the White Sox. And this is the one point I'll have about baseball. I called into the golf show in the last week or something like that, and I talked about, hey, baseball players, football, basketball players all have contracts. Why can't golf? And the thing that came back to me with the live players is they said, well, tradition. When you have one of the oldest sports in baseball and you put a ghost player on base without even getting a hit or a walk, I don't want to hear about tradition anymore, because that's one of the worst things that ever happened to baseball. It's uncalled for.
Well, Eddie, I think the White Sox would agree after yesterday. I think you're conflating two things, though, that don't necessarily go hand in hand. Listen, it's not like this is new, or it's not brand new, right? Like, we've had several seasons now with the ghost runner, the new extra inning rules in baseball, and so... At this point, if you haven't figured out how to approach it, that's on you as an organization.
And there is strategy involved.
There certainly is. I'll tell you what. If you're a road team and you want to play for the potential sacrifice bunt in the top of the 10th, I think it's one of the few times you can actually make that argument. Yep. And, you know, in terms of probabilities, you can have some of the math in your favor, because you just want to get that run across as the road team at times. Now, you're taking away the potential for the big inning, but if you can, you'll put the pressure on the home team in that situation. Again, the White Sox, though, yesterday, that to me was the biggest issue, is come the 10th inning, when you cannot get your run across, you're putting yourself and your manager in a really bad spot in the bottom of the 10th.
And as far as golfers having contracts, I mean, the live thing is, you know, obscene amount of money, and a lot of guys are saying it's life-changing money, even for guys who are making tens of millions of dollars. But there is something to be said about basically being an independent contractor, and I get they've got logos all over their shirts and hats and everything else, so they're making, if you're a good golfer, and certainly if you're a great golfer, you're making a lot of money just by your endorsements, but you have to make the cut. I mean, it, you know, there are guys who are still living out of the trunk of their car trying to keep their PGA Tour yes. card to even be a part of this thing. So, I mean, I don't know how much more incentive you have is if you don't deliver week in, week out, or for the majority of the golf season, you're not going to be on the tour, and you're certainly not going to see that kind of money, and then your endorsements are going to go away, too, if you're not. So as far as pure incentive goes, instead of a guaranteed contract, that's pretty good incentive to you know it's all in your bag. You know, whatever decision you're making from the fairway or the rough, you have to execute it. You can't depend on the bullpen bailing you out or anything else. It's all on you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of I wasn't quite clear on exactly what Eddie was calling for the PGA Tour to have guaranteed
contracts.
Money
yeah.
To compete with
or to keep the talent they have within
I think the reality is it doesn't matter if the PGA even if the PGA Tour had guaranteed contracts, Bri, they're not going to be able to pony up the amount
no.
of money that the LIV Tour is.
No, not unless
so,
the PGA's got oil field somewhere I'm
yeah,
not aware
yeah,
of. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, thanks for the call, Eddie. 312-332-3776 if you want to hop in. Talk with us, Meller and Hanley, here on ESPN 1000. All right, before we turn our attention to the Bears, thoughts on the Cubs yesterday losing to the Dodgers. Max Muncy, Jesse Outman have been nuisances in this series for the Cubs. And the Dodgers, even though they're not the team they've been in the past, they are still a very formidable opponent.
Yeah, and today you've got Marcus Stroman against Clayton Kershaw. So that should be a something to tune into,
yeah.
even if you're just a baseball fan, not necessarily a Dodger or Cubs fan. I'm kicking myself because Friday I really thought about going out to Wrigley Field for the first time.
Oh.
And then I'm watching Drew Smyly having a perfect game, and you know they found it, that you know the perfect game went away and all that, but and he avoided injury thankfully. But as you mentioned, because you had that game sandwiched between the two losses, look, the Cubs are
feel good story. Still
good
rolls
story.
On,
absolutely.
Yes.
And there's enough positives, and Seiya Suzuki's back, and he drove in a run early yesterday, and they're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But I was saying to you before the show in the bullpen. Dylan Cease is a different conversation, but can you make the argument, given the upside and the resources you have invested in the rotation, that the Cubs actually, I would take the Cubs rotation right now.
One through five.
Yeah.
You had me thinking
yeah.
because Stroman has been excellent. And, you know, I'm not convinced that he's going to be, you know, in the top five of Cy Young finishers.
No.
But
and I would expect Dylan Cease to be in top
yes.
five, if not be, you know, top two, like he was last year.
Nevertheless, though, you know, Justin Steele, and, you know, he's certainly been unbelievable, right? And I don't know how long Justin Steele can sustain. He's not going to be Jake Arrieta here, right?
But, I liked a lot what I saw last year
yeah,
from
absolutely.
Him.
So he has moments. He's got pretty good strikeout stuff. So I like Justin Steele, certainly, as if we're going to slot him in as your number two.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Smyly is a veteran who, listen, when things are going well, everything looks great.
Had a pretty good second half last year.
He did. He's a quality innings eater. I think he's... Ideally, probably if he's your number four or five, you're in really good position, right?
Yep.
So, but if I'm putting him as your fourth or fifth, that's where Kyle Hendricks and Jameson Taillon need to come back into the rotation off the injured list. And, you know, there's been good news regarding Kyle Hendricks, you know, and Jameson Taillon hasn't shown Cubs fans anything, but they made a huge investment in him. You and I were texting with Jesse the other, you know, a couple weeks ago when he was on the mound, and I was wondering, like, what's going on here? Because they did pony up some significant money for Taillon. They thought he would be an innings
not
eater.
Not Zach Eflin money.
No, not, well, not more. They,
yeah,
gave, they gave him more.
I know, I'm being facetious.
But, yeah, when you lay it out, I looked at the White Sox, and I'm like, boy,
If you can tell me who Michael Kopech is to this point, and some innings
can.
He looks like...
It's all about potential with
right.
Kopech.
And in some innings it looks like he can still figure it out and still was the guy everyone's been waiting on. And other innings he looks just like a guy. And Lucas Giolito, as you said, goes today and the other day looked great for six innings. And, you know, he's a free agent after this year, right?
Giolito?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, if he wants to get paid in a significant way, he's better have the season that you hope he's going to have if you're a White Sox fan.
Yeah, he's certainly got a lot to pitch for. And which leads to an interesting question here that you brought up and we've put on the Twitter poll today. So, which team will have the better record at the end of the season, the Cubs or the White Sox? And right now, I would say to nobody's surprise, the Cubs are getting 87%. Actually, I will allow me to rephrase.
Mm-hmm.
I am very surprised the White Sox are getting what is now 12% of the vote. I'm actually surprised by that. Because where they're at right now, unless you're a diehard White Sox fan who hates the Cubs, I don't know how you could actually feel good about voting for the White Sox.
The Cubs are overachieving, and whether that sustains in any way, shape, or form, or how it does sustain, if it does, you know, is it a plus 500 pace where they actually? I mean, who's in the worst jam right now? The St. Louis Cardinals or the Chicago White Sox?
For me, it feels like the White Sox.
Well, but the Cardinals' expectations were they're going to win that division going away.
Yeah,
and it wasn't even going to be close.
I might still be a slave to the preseason predictions. Right. You're right about that, Bri.
But as
a White Sox fan watching this, though, I don't see any light at the end of this tunnel.
Yeah, I know, and you know, just like the White Sox, the Cardinals have to leapfrog a handful of teams already.
Yeah,
not that the Pirates are going to be there at the end, but
hey,
you know, the Cubs need to
don't go hating on the Buccos just yet.
Well, the Cubs need to keep doing this while the Cardinals are having their issues to make, you know, this thing interesting into July anyway.
All right, plenty of time to talk baseball with you, but we're going to shift our attention to the Bears because we are now less than a week away from the NFL draft. If you'd like to talk with us, 312-332-3776. Let us know who you would like the Bears to draft. We'll talk about it next here on ESPN 1000.
If you missed something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Miller and Hanley with you till 11 o'clock today. Jeff Joniak, the voice of the Bears, is going to hop on with us at 10 o'clock. We'll pick his brain as to what he believes the Bears might do with the 9th overall pick. Will they stay at 9? I think that's a fair question.
We have a Twitter poll.
We do. We do, Bri.
What should the Bears do? Not what will they do. What would you like to see them to do? Would you, number 9 pick, do you want to see them trade up, trade down, or utilize said pick? And maybe you have 2 or 3 players that you're saying, if it's, you know, they're on the board or expected to be on the board, you want them to keep that 9 pick because you need impact. You need difference makers. Or, you know, more is better. You're maybe the more is better. You know, trade down, get as many picks as you can. I saw this. Chicago Tribune wrote the other day that the Bears have not had 5 picks in the top 103 overall picks in 20 years. 20 years they haven't had that. And
arbitrary endpoints.
Yeah, I know.
Because I love, and you know it. I mean, listen, I grew up reading a lot of what you've done. You know, as a writer, sometimes you find an angle.
You make the numbers fit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, so, this looks good. It's not 100, but I can stretch to 103.
So if you're a Bears fan, you're saying, I have to look at Charles Tillman
and Lance Briggs were 20 years ago. They had 5 picks in the top 103 because we're rounding up to 103.
Who doesn't?
But those are pretty good players that stuck around for a while and made a name for themselves in this town. And by the way, Lance Briggs will be part of our Bears football family.
Huge announcement. If you missed it this week, entire lineup for the Bears Radio Network was announced. Sylvie, Deion Miller, and Lance Briggs will have your pregame coverage on your brand new home for the Bears Radio Network, ESPN Chicago. Of course, Joniak and Thayer will still be on the call for every Bears game. And of course, Peggy and Yurko will have your post-game coverage.
So maybe you have a guy, and you know, we have Matt on the line, so we'll get to him. But there is a big drop-off right now, Jeff, from number 9 to number 53. There's a lot of time in between those first and second picks as Ryan Pohl sits here today. So maybe you say, yeah, move down and then get a few more picks between said number 9 and number 53.
Absolutely. Let's try Matt, who's in Streamwood. Matt, you're on with Meller and Hanley. What's up, bud?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. Appreciate it. May I ask you, with the Jalen Carr situation, I know, you know, coming out, he had the incident with the drag racing, and then he had left the combine to go to deal with the situation. And then he, basically his agent this week, Drew Rosenhaus, said now he has to be picked in the top 5 because if he gets to 6, that he's going to be worried and he's going to be calling teams and saying, you better take him now. So it gets worried to me that now that Jalen Carter and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, are moving the goalposts. They only said the top 10 teams could pick him. Now it's down to 5. that if the Bears do select him at 9, that he, one, that he won't report to training camp or will hold out, or that he, two, he wants to sign this huge deal or something. And I just don't, at the situation right now, it worries me is that I don't know if Eberflus can get through to him, because I don't know what Eberflus' defense is as it is right now. Mm-hmm. I didn't
not good would be the two words that come to mind. Not good defense. You know, God bless Drew Rosenhaus, Matt, but he can tell Jalen Carter cannot tell teams that I'm going to be holding out. With the last few months in particular, and there were already questions before that about his maturity, and then you had the legal issues, and by the way, a friend of his died in the racing incident. But, you know, he was smart enough to plea out and get that put behind him, so at least there's certainty for NFL teams as to what that the legal end looks like and what he will have to do and not do and all that. But Drew Rosenhaus, this is not the guy, you know, I think he'll get selected top 10. And I think if the Bears, he's sitting there number 9, Jeff, I think you're in agreement. You take him unless you have some really glaring issues and questions about him.
Yeah, so a lot here, Matt. What I will say is don't concern yourself about the idea of holding out. The reality is, it was Sam Bradford was the last quarterback who really cashed in before the last couple CBAs where they slotted in draft picks, right? And so Rosenhaus, Carter, they can bloviate all they want about the idea of him potentially holding out. The reality is there's nothing. There's no real holdout.
No, there's structure.
Roquan Smith probably was the most recent, quote, holdout because of, quote, language in his contract where he didn't necessarily want, you know, he was worried about potential fines or not getting all his guaranteed money.
Minutia. But,
yeah, there's nowhere to go with the money. So ultimately, he could be disappointed that he's not drafted in the top 5 because it means less money, but there's nothing you can do.
Not, like you said, before this CBA and slotted salaries, top 5, you could get.
Absolutely.
And quarterbacks who were, I mean, geez, and Matt Stafford, those, I mean, they were making $40, $50 million.
Without even playing a down in the NFL.
Exactly right.
But don't worry, that's not the case anymore. I think that and Drew Rosenhaus is going to go here. I'll play it for folks who may have missed it. So Drew Rosenhaus was on HBO's Real Sports, and he was asked, hey, what's the plan if Jalen Carter isn't selected in those first 5 picks?
No, I'm not going to call him. Yes, I will tell him in the green room to keep a stiff upper lip and to maintain a positive attitude that we're going to be drafted any second now. And yes, I'll be on the other line calling teams and saying, you better pick this guy right now, because I'm talking other clubs that could potentially take it.
You can hear, you know, he knows what he's doing is a show. And if anything, what that is from Rosenhaus on HBO's Real Sports, that's an advertisement for all the future clients for that he can land. He knows NFL teams are not going to be swayed.
If they are, shame on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
If Drew Rosenhaus, hey, draft night, you know, my guy's in the green room. Now it's 6 or 7 pick on the clock. Hey, you better pick him because, you know, at 8 or 9, he's going to go.
Or what? And if he doesn't, what?
I've graded him out.
Absolutely.
My staff has graded him out. We either like the guy here or think there's value here, or we don't. You can, you know, Drew, let me put you on hold, and I'll get back to you tomorrow. I mean, you can advertise and advocate and do everything you want. Any team in the draft room is actually going to be, as you said, swayed or influenced.
That's not.
Oh my God, we were going to pick, you know, that the quarterback, but no, Drew's on the line. Stop, freeze. We're going with Jalen.
If you run your organization like that, we've got bigger issues. So don't concern yourself with that. That is Rosenhaus. He's a showman, and he's saying, look over here, but don't look over here. He's trying to prove or he's trying to demonstrate to, you know. Again, I think it's more than anything else. Drew Rosenhaus is probably, I would say, he's probably the most famous NFL agent, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So at this stage of his career, this is just a marketing ploy for all the next great college football players who might be looking for an agent down the road. And that's what he's doing with
you
this.
You almost hear the desperation in his voice
absolutely.
There, too, right? Because his guy was going to be 1 or 2. And now we're like, if he doesn't get 5, you're going to be hearing from me. Okay, good.
Exactly. And this gets to the point. So Jalen Carter undoubtedly is, you know, I think most people have him as the top player on their board, right? with very few exceptions. Maybe if you think if you're not concerned with Bryce Young's size, maybe you have Bryce Young number one and Carter two. But most people have him in the top two when it comes to talent in this draft. But of course, there's all the off the field questions. Lewis Riddick joined Waddle and Sylvie on Friday. And of course, Lewis Riddick will be on the NFL draft coverage for ESPN. He talked about the concerns when it comes to picking Jalen Carter for any general manager.
Look, everyone can look at the tape and see what Jalen Carter brings to the table, but what does everybody come back to? You know, it's like, oh boy, but is he going to be in shape? But is he going to do the right thing when he leaves the facility? But is he going to be here the next day on time? You know, it's all that crap.
Yeah.
And so if I'm a general manager now and I've got the kind of situation that Ryan has, and I'm trying to make my mark, man, you better be like a combination of Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White, Aaron Donald, and all the rest in order for me to like want to take that kind of risk.
There you go. That's Riddick laying it out. The talent's undeniable.
Yeah.
Jalen Carter, as a player, he is, again, one of the best in this draft. And very possibly, if he lives up to his potential, could be an absolute game changer along the lines of someone like Aaron Donald in the interior, which is what Matt Eberflus needs. If there were no questions surrounding his character, I think it's very likely the Bears may have only wanted to trade with the Texans if that were the case, right? Mm-hmm. But I think what came out in February at the draft combine made it much more palatable for Ryan Poles to go ahead and make that trade, because he was like, you know what? I'm going to get all the assets from the Panthers because we're not as sold on Jalen Carter because of the off-the-field issues.
And not only off-field issues, and you just heard it there by Riddick, he was out of shape. I mean, think about this. With everything else swirling around you, the one thing you can do is be in the gym and,
yes,
and keeping, you know, but then you're, the shirt comes off and you're like, ooh, okay, how serious are you about your craft? And your talent's undeniable,
mm-hmm,
but is it Lewis Riddick said, are you gonna work at it? Are you going to work at it every single day? Are you going to be on time? Are you going to be in the gym? Are you going to be a leader? Are you going to be showing by example? That said, I mean, I think he's probably going to go before the Bears are on the clock.
I agree. I think for Bears fans, it's scary, but the Lions seem like a very good landing spot for him.
Seattle could be?
Certainly. If the Seahawks don't take him, I think the Lions will. But yes, those are the two spots at 5 and 6 where everybody's saying, yeah, it's kind of hard to see him falling past there. But if he does, the Bears are going to have a real dilemma on their hands. It's going to be fascinating if he falls to them and he's there on the board at 9. 312-332-3776. I'm Jeff Meller along with Brian Hanley, taking you up to 11 o'clock. Jeff Joniak, the voice of the Bears, will join us at 10. We'll ask him what he thinks about Jalen Carter as a prospect and how he'd feel if the Bears select him. Also, Jeff Joniak's partner, Tom Thayer, was on with Carmen and Yurko earlier. I'll let you hear who he thinks the Bears should select with their 9th overall pick, and it may not be what you think. Next.
This is Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Listen now in HD on our app and on ESPN 1000.
Miller and Hanley with you till 11 o'clock today. Jeff Joniak, voice of the Bears, is going to hop on at 10 o'clock as we preview the NFL draft coming your way on Thursday. Finally, it'll finally be here, Bri. Now, I will say, it's one of those things where we've been talking about the draft forever, but now all of a sudden, it's sneaking right up on us here.
And everything, you know, well, this is how important this is to the Bears, but also to Ryan Poles. Well, history will show you X, Y, and Z. If you don't get the top 10 pick right, if you keep number 9, or is there a chance they move up? Could they be in love with Jalen Carter to the point where...
I would be really stunned. Yeah. I will say that. Like, I don't think they will be moving up. I think moving back...
Well, unless Drew calls. Now, if Drew calls him and says, hey, you better not sit on your number 9, because if you're not at number 4, you're in trouble. I'm with you. I mean, there are so many needs.
I just think if you're in love with Jalen Carter, you don't move back as far as you did.
Right.
To all of a sudden then say, okay, look, again, it's not impossible, but it would really stun me if you gave up some assets. Because, again, it's not... it's not like the Lions, even though I guess... They have recently traded with the Vikings. They traded TJ Hockenson. So it's not impossible that you would stay with a trade inside the division. But I have heard oftentimes teams talk about trading in the division. And they'll do it, but they'll do it. There's a premium, right?
Yep.
So I would be really surprised if the Bears go up to add Jalen Carter.
I'm with you. I mean, so I guess the question is, even though that's an option on our Twitter poll, do you move down and get as many assets as you can, or do you sit there at number nine and trust your scouting staff that you're going to find a difference maker?
It's an interesting question. I think the only way for me to answer that without knowing who's on the board, I think trading down is fine, staying there is fine, but I don't think you can say, let's move up. It just would really, based on what they've done so far, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It would take a lot of neck for Ryan Poles to say, not only do we want Jalen Carter, we're moving up and giving up draft assets to get to that point. And that with all the questions, and there are enough of them, I mean, and then however that plays out, you're either the smartest guy, the genius, you got a Hall of Famer, or you're sitting here in 2 years trying to explain what the hell happened.
Let's folks hear from Tom Fair, who will be with Jeff Joniak on the call of all your Bears games here on ESPN 1000. So Tom Fair was in studio with Carmen and Yurko earlier this week, and they asked him, so do you think the Bears, aside from Jalen Carter, all the mocks basically have the Bears taking an offensive lineman generally. So they asked Tom Fair, former offensive lineman, do you think the Bears will draft an offensive lineman in the first round?
I hope not.
Really?
Yeah. You know, to me, I'm not impressed. I don't think the Bears have good defensive line talent.
Okay.
And if this team is going to get any better, if they're going to start competing. Listen, my whole goal is to compete to win the division, get into the playoffs. And if you have some defensive line talent out there, some edge rushers, you better investigate that portion of your team because, you know, Chris Morgan is a good offensive line coach, and he can manipulate, move around talent to possibly get the best out of them that can complement what this offense needs. Do they need to get better? Do they need to run the ball better? Or do they need to give up less sacks? Yes, of course. But if you can't stop the run, you have no chance in this league.
So there you go. Tom Thayer saying he hopes they don't take an offensive lineman. Interesting to hear that from a man who knows a thing or two about offensive line play.
Not only that, and certainly the other side of that coin is, don't you do everything you can to help Justin Fields? And certainly improving your defense ultimately helps everyone, including your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you want to protect your franchise quarterback? You still believe him to be a quarterback because you're not in the market for a quarterback right now. That's very interesting. And, you know, Ryan Poles being a former offensive lineman, maybe looking the same way as Tom. I mean, Tom knows what he's looking at.
And to his point, Chris Morgan, he knows, he believes he can get the best out of a player. So, and maybe you trust Ryan Poles as a former O-lineman to say, okay, I can unearth some talent. You know, that's the idea with Braxton Jones, what he hopefully has as a potential starting left tackle who he was able to grab in the fifth round. I'm with you.
That's a hell of a story, but don't delude yourself.
You're right, because I agree with what you just said there. Let's try Bear fan Bob, who I think agrees with Tom Thayer. Hey, Bob, what's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. Of course, I would never agree with my close friend Thomas or disagree with him. That would never happen. But, you know, at the end of the day, I you know, if I said something wrong, I'd hear it out of him or Jay Hilgenberg, and No. I've learned a long time ago, when it comes out of one of these guys' mouths, chances are it's probably right, because it usually is. So at the end of the day, you know, if you look at it, you know, I watch Packers football too a lot, and the Packers, what they do is they put a lot of offensive linemen, receivers around guys like Rodgers, and he throws them the ball, and that kind of loosens up or makes it easier for the offensive line. So I'm in a complete agreement with Tom Thayer. You know, that's going to take some of the pressure off the offensive line. So getting now up to the defense. The defensive line is the number one weakest part of this team, and that's what needs the help the most. If Carter is there, fine. If he ain't, whatever. Then you have to trust your staff to go out and find guys. And they took all defensive line in the first four picks of the draft. That would be fine with me. And getting back to the Lions, that little excrement show this week, I wouldn't be too worried about the Lions. I think they're going to have more holes to fill than just that. You know, they're going to be out for a while. That was a hot mess.
But
take the best players available for the defense only. Otherwise, you're not going to win a championship. You're not going to win nothing this year. You're looking at how to fix this team for 2024 and be a serious contender. You have to fix the defense. Defensive line, 100%. Guys, have a great day.
Thanks, Robert.
Nice talking with you.
Amen, Bob.
If Carter's not there at number nine, mm-hmm. and you're sitting at number nine, you're not moving, can you give me a name or two defensively as an edge rusher or someone going to get the quarterback who's worth the number nine pick?
Listen, I don't think he'll be there, but I suppose there's a possibility that Tyree Wilson could be there. But I think he'll probably go
five or six, either Seattle or Detroit.
Exactly.
Whichever one's going with Jalen Carter, or if Carter goes to Seattle, then Detroit's jumping on Tyree, right?
How about Jalen Carter's teammate, Nolan Smith, who was an absolute terror at the draft combine, put up some ridiculous speed numbers coming off the edge. He's somebody who, you know, listen, the one thing about comps where you get yourself into trouble
yep.
is by just saying names, but I've heard people say, hey, Nolan Smith, you could put him and kind of use him the way the Dallas Cowboys use Micah Parsons.
Okay.
Interesting. You know what I'm just saying? There's a lot of interesting possibilities. Lucas Van Ness, the local kid from Iowa, is also somebody who's gotten who's been mocked to the Bears quite a bit. So there are some players available. The great thing about the Bears having so many holes is they will be able to find, if they can identify him, they will be able to find somebody to fill in and be a potential starter when the season begins with this ninth pick, if they stay there.
Well, the Bears ought to draft the guy doing push-ups in front of our studio right now.
I don't see Ryan Poles here to scout him, though. I don't know if he's going to be on his board. 312-332-3776. He's Hanley. I'm Meller. Jeff Joniak, voice of the Bears, joins us next.